Lindsay, just to give a bit of background on this chat, a lot of people don't really know that you and I have known each other for quite a while prior to what we've done at CoachParry.com. We spent a bit of time at junior school together, and one of my earliest memories of you is legs up to your armpits, running the living daylights out of everyone in junior school, and some things haven't changed. You still got legs up to your armpits, and you still run the living daylights out of people.
Yeah, so I've always loved running. There's no question about that. Been running with my father since I was 5 years old. Obviously, when we knew each other, you were a year ahead of me at school, but we played in the same football team for, I think, the best part of 2 years. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I've always loved running, and at Lakeview, it was no different. The big difference was at Lakeview, I was probably the only person who could run.
Yeah, okay, let's just give this some context. So we're talking about Lakeview, which is a little primary school in a little town in the Free State called Virginia. It's a tiny little town. It's even smaller now than what it was then, because that was in the big mining boom. It's gotten a bit smaller since then. But, yeah, I mean, for me to make a football team, Lindsay tells you how many kids we had. Did we have 11 kids playing football in our... Yeah, I can't even remember that. Obviously, we must have... Well, we could have been one short. That's why I was playing.
Well, that's probably why we were, although we were separated by a year, that's probably why we did have a team, is because we certainly couldn't pull it out of one 1 year.
Let's talk about your running, though. And you talk about running for as long as you can remember, essentially from like 5 years old, and running with your dad. For those who don't know, your dad's a pretty good athlete in his own right.
Yeah, so my dad's the actual runner in the family. He has won some fairly big races in South Africa. He has gold medals from Comrades in the days when you had to finish in the top six to get a gold medal. He's run a sub-6 hour Comrades. He's finished fourth at SA Marathon Championships when he was representing the old Transvaal. So, yeah, I mean, he's the real runner in the family, but it was enough to pass on the baton, and I was pretty useful at it. And most importantly, I enjoyed it a lot, so I've never stopped doing it. And then it eventually became what I do for a living.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I mean, growing up, Lindsay, you obviously were around the South African road running scene. I was as well. My dad also has done numerous Comrades, never close to what your old man was doing. But growing up in those sort of spaces, for someone like you, obviously you had a bit of ability. You were running pretty well at junior school. Did you want to be an athlete, or did you always want to be a coach?
No, I definitely wanted to go to the Olympics as a athlete. For most of my very young life, and this the it's not strange, it's actually maybe obvious that South Africa's other big passion, rugby, is potentially what derailed that. I mean, I was 16 years old, just short of 6 foot, and weighed 65 kilograms, so I was skinny as. And to play first team rugby, I was told I needed to get bigger, and so I did. And I spent the next 2 years of my life in a gym. And it's in the back of my mind, I always thought I'll always be able to run, but I'm only going to be able to play rugby now. So, like I said, I spent 2 years, and I went from mid 60s to upper 80s, early 90s, and when I got badly injured in matric and then did not play first team rugby, I thought, oh, well, that's fine. I'll go back to running. And it really was a struggle. I mean, I was heavy, and you can't run very fast when you're heavy, or relative to what I used to. And so all my track PBs still come from when I was 15, 16 years old. And, yeah, to be fair, most of my distances, are, yeah, most of my distance PBs are from when I was 15, 16 years old.
You were a pretty handy football player as well, though.
Yeah, and I did love football. And so if I'd gone to a school that played football, perhaps I would have gone on and done that a lot longer. And when I went to university, I did go back to playing football. I really did enjoy it, and I got provincial colours for for footy in primary school. And in fact, when I was in standard nine, form four, I remember we put together a football team at school out of the dribs and drabs of people who played football in primary school, and we went up against the then Coca-Cola Cup champions, Glen High School, and I scored the opening goal, and we managed to hold on to that lead until less than 10 minutes to play, and unfortunately once they equalized, the floodgates opened, and we went down 3-1, but while I was on the pitch, we were 1-0 up against the Coca-Cola Cup champions.
I love that. Lindsay, talk to me a little bit about growing up around your dad in that sort of environment. And, I mean, you've told me a story of going out. You were, I don't know how old you were, running with your dad and a couple of his mates, and they were chatting as you do, and you were just sort of hanging on for dear life. And before you knew it, you had run, I don't know how many Ks, and you were still with him. It must have been pretty cool. I mean, you obviously didn't know any different, but looking back now and some of the big names of that your dad used to run with and hang out with, it must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, look, it was like, and I did know them, and I did know who they were. But, you know, I also knew that my dad was pretty well known in the running community, because it didn't matter where we were. If we were on holiday and we went to a race, you know, people knew my dad and we'd have a chat. So I never, although I knew how good they were, I never looked at them as celebrities, if you like. I just always knew them as normal people. And so that was also really cool. And so there were one or two times where that exact thing happened, you know. I still remember the pair of shoes. It was a pair of Nike Vendettas, which Bruce Fordyce actually won the Comrades in 1 year.
Not the same pair that you used to wear, I'm sure.
No, obviously not. And, yeah, as you said, we were just meant to do a 15-minute run to run the men. And, of course, once the adults got chatting, they just forgot about me. And, you know, when it got dark and I got hungry, I was like, Dad, when are we going home? He goes, oh, no. Oh, you, Lindsay's still here. Sorry, guys. I've got to get my son home. And off we went.
I love it. Lindsay, talk to me a little bit about sort of post-school and then the studying side of it and how that came about, and obviously into your coaching.
Yeah, so once I got to university, one of the first things I did was went and sought out the running club, because although at that stage I wasn't running, I had ITB and I basically hadn't run for almost 7 months, couldn't get rid of the ITB, and I'd put on weight again because obviously when you're not running, you're drinking. So I got to varsity quite chubby, but the running club has not only been about running growing up in the Parry household, it was also part of our social structure. So our friends were runners, and we'd have time trials, and after time trials, the parents would have drinks and we'd run around like crazy oaks outside having a jaw. And so my first port of call, essentially getting to university, was to go to the running club and sign up. And it turned out that one of our good family friends, the Hotchkisses, their eldest son, Bryn, more popularly known as Forrest, as in Run, Forrest, Run, was the chairman of the club. So I kind of started there. I ran extremely socially at university, and I went through, I was chairman for a year, vice chairman, I was head of social, club captain. I held a few positions on the, but slowly but surely while I was there, we really started to grow an enthusiastic club with some decent athletes. You know, we weren't going to challenge for intervarsity and that sort of thing, but we really had an awesome time. And during that time, I started realizing that, okay, well, I've got quite a lot of experience on these people, and I started helping people out with coaching. And then I was like, well, okay, if we need to coach people here, I better start figuring out what I'm doing. And it ties in with the degree I'm studying, which was human kinetics and ergonomics, or sports science essentially. So I started reading a lot, started making photocopies of certain Runner's World articles and taking notes of things, and effectively became the club coach in my final year at Rhodes. And from then on, I just realized that I'm not going to get to where I wanted to get to in running, but maybe I can help other people get there. And that's in particular why I started out my career working with juniors rather than working with seniors, because I felt like if I can just keep them going through that period, then when they get to senior ranks, they would be in a position to then continue to be competitive.
As far as sort of, and this is a tough question to ask, probably not the right question to ask, when did you start realizing that you were pretty good at it? And I'm saying it's an unfair question to ask because you're pretty humble. I'll tell people you're pretty good. You're not going to tell people you're pretty good. So when did you realize that you actually, you can do this?
Yeah, so that's maybe a better wording. I've never thought that I'm good. I obviously feel like I know what I'm doing, but yeah, I don't feel like I'm good. But when I started to realize that I could do the coaching thing as a living was when I was still in Cape Town, because people kept asking me to get involved in things. You know, Western Province Triathlon wanted me to get involved with their development. The club that I belonged to at the time, Celtic Carriers, they asked me to get involved in stuff inside the club. So I kind of started thinking, well, hang on, people value my opinion. And so then it started to pique my interest in actually starting to become a professional coach, if you like, and actually charging people for the experience. So it was just a gradual realization that I like doing this, and more people want me to help them doing it. So I felt like I was on the right track to becoming good at it.
As far as comrades and the role that comrades plays in running in South Africa, I mean, you've been coaching for close on 20 years now as we record this. But comrades has played a big part in your coaching career and as a race and just your life in general. I mean, it's always been a thread and your role as official comrades coach, you've been there a long, long time now. But I mean, that came pretty early on in your coaching career as well.
Yeah, so that's probably one of those things you chalk up as being in the absolute right place at the perfect time. So obviously I have a rich history of comrades. My father has run it 25 times. He's got 3 gold medals in the senior ranks, and then he's got a couple of top 10s when he was racing as a veteran. And I've spent many, many of those races on the side of the road, and we would obviously record it from the time that it was broadcast live. We would record it and we would all watch it, you know, the following weekend from start to finish. So I had all the history. I know how the race works. I had run it once and didn't have a particularly pleasant experience, largely because my dad tricked me into running it when I was very unfit, claiming it would be his last. I was like, look, I can't not run comrades with my dad at least once. Anyway, that took me to the point where a common friend of Mike Finch and I, Patrick Kravach, and myself and Patrick went out to dinner, and Mike Finch, who's editor of Runner's World, happened to be in the vicinity. He phoned Patrick. Patrick goes, hey, why don't you come and join us for pizza, my mate here, whatever. So we had dinner that night, and in the course of the evening, we got talking about comrades and had a really great chat about it. And then the following Wednesday, I was training pretty damn hard for Two Oceans. And the following Wednesday, I ran a 10K race called the Lighthouse 10 in Greenpoint, where I ran my still PB for 10K is 34:49. And I think I finished 9th. And at the finish line, Mike was there because he was commentating. He was like, you know what? You love comrades. You're a bloody good runner. I think there's an opportunity for you at comrades because they are looking for a fresh face. Don Oliver had been there for many, many years. And comrades just felt like it was a time to change. So Mike phoned up comrades, Renee Jordan, she's since remarried, I can't remember her new surname. and said, hey, listen, I've got the perfect guy for you. He's young. He's a bloody good runner. He knows the history of Comrades backwards, but he's inexperienced. So I met up with her. She was like, you're exactly what we're looking for. We're a little bit worried about the inexperience. So then Mike suggested that myself and Bruce Fordyce team up and I do all the work and Bruce essentially has a look at the stuff and endorses it and we do this thing as a partnership and over a 3 or 4 year period kind of phase that in and out. So it was literally just a question of perfect place at the perfect time and I'd like to think I really used that opportunity well and I still love doing it. And look, I realize that I have been there since 2006. So I am aware of the fact that maybe in the next 5 to 10 years that Comrades will be looking for a new face fresh. But while I'm there, I'm really loving it. I hope that I recognize that before it happens so that I can help them to find that next person and the changeover can be much smoother because the abuse that I had to endure for the first 6 months of this job was actually quite spectacular. But lucky I've got a thick skin.
Lindsay, as far as and I've said this quite often about you, is there very few people who can coach elite athletes well, and there are very few people who can coach amateur athletes well, and there are even less people who can do both. And you're one of the few people I know that do both really well. That you obviously have had success, particularly around Comrades, and you've had Olympic qualifier in Yvette van Sale. But around Comrades, particularly, if you look at what you've done with the likes of Caroline and Shawnee with her win as well. But then what you've done with the masses and people like me who are plodders, who you just breathe this belief into them. I mean, you've almost got me believing that I could run a Bull Rowan, which is, crazy. But I'd have to do a lot of work. But that's the sort of belief that you breathe into people. And that's a skill I don't think many people have. Do you think that's been one of your sort of keys to your success is to be able to get the best out of people?
Absolutely. And I think it comes... Maybe there are more places that it comes from, but for me, if I try and put a finger on where that comes from, it comes from the fact that, A, I am a runner at heart. So I run because I love to run. I don't run because I'm good at running. And so in my starting of my coaching career, the people that I was helping to run, they were not elite athletes. And look, some of them have gone on to do maybe a sub-3 hour marathon, which is excellent. But, you know, most of them are people that have been like 10 and a half to 11 hour Comrades runners. They've done a washy here and there, but those are the people I started out with at university. So I kind of figured at that stage that I like working with those people. And secondly, as you said, for me, one of the most important things for those people is that they actually believe that they can do what they're going to do. And then on the flip side of that coin, I just love sport and performance and the competitive side of sports. I've grown up watching sport my whole life, so I know how nice it is to win. And I like to help people to win. But because I have the interest across the broad range of spectrum, it's when somebody who wants to finish Comrades asks me questions, I don't lose interest in them because I'm genuinely interested in wanting to help them. And the same thing happens at the elite level. You know, I think somebody who runs just for the social and turned out that they're actually quite good at coaching people, they often glaze over when the elites start talking to them because they just don't understand the world. So I really do believe it's because when people speak to me, I'm listening to them and they can tell that I'm listening to them. And then the second part is exactly that. I always believe that people can do it And when people start pushing the envelope, I never know where the limit is. And I always tell people, we won't know until we get there. So we will keep trying to get better until we can't get better anymore. I think that pretty much sums it up.
I love that. Lindsay, as far as sort of things you'd still like to achieve, both from a coaching perspective and from a personal running perspective, what are you still, I mean, when all said and done, and you are ancient and about to kick the proverbial bucket, what would you have liked to have achieved in your coaching career and in your personal running career?
Well, look, I think I would still like to coach some more comrades winners. Otherwise, you run the risk of starting to feel like it was a bit of a fluke, you know. And look, in some ways, that is always a little bit of luck, because it just so happened that I was lucky enough to coach two of the best distance runners in the country at that moment. And we did a good job. So then we were able to pull off two wins in 2 years. At Comrades, and obviously Caroline won two Oceans 2 years, and she won Normandy Dame. So I think I would definitely like to win some more Comrades, just so that I don't feel like I got lucky. Nobody likes that. I definitely want to – I've been to two Olympic Games now. I was coaching Richard Murray when he went to the first one. I was coaching Yvette when we went to the second one. So I've coached athletes to the Olympics. But I would like to go another step and be involved with directly coaching an athlete that medals at the Olympic Games. Or at a marathon major, I think that would give me the same sort of satisfaction if someone podiumed or won at a major international marathon, New York, London, something along those lines. So, look, I want the athletes that choose to work with me to be successful. So essentially, and I want that success to be at the absolute highest level. You know, it's cool doing well in South Africa, and obviously Comrades is a huge international race, but I really want to be part of South Africa starting to realize its potential in the middle to long distances again on the international scene. And I think, you know, what we did at the 100K World Champs, although I wasn't directly involved in any of those athletes coaching, just the seeds that we planted, the team spirit that we built up over that week, I really feel those are the kinds of things that can get the whole country to realize that with the right opportunities, we can really be a force in international running again.
And from a personal running perspective, what's the goal?
So my immediate short-term goal from a personal perspective is to have a great 10th to Oceans. It's my 10th and Oceans 50th, so that's my immediate short-term goal. But my life goal, while I've still got I think I've still got a few years at the senior age of 41, I think I've still got a few years, and that's to run all the marathon majors, but in particular to actually nail a marathon in perfect conditions and to be able to sit back and say that I've truly run my perfect marathon race.
Lindsay, and then just to wrap up from a coaching perspective with regards to Coach Parry as a business, and obviously the best part of just over a decade, we've been very focused on Comrades as an event, and you're obviously the official Comrades Marathon coach, but there's a bit of a shift happening as we record this, where it's not just all about Comrades anymore. We've got some really cool things happening, and you're not feeling like you're boxed as just the Comrades coach. We've got quite a few people training for marathons around the world and half marathons. So some exciting times, and it's not all Comrades, as much as we've spoken about it a lot, is not the be all and end all. There's lots of other things to focus on.
No, I agree with that 100%. Like I've always felt that Comrades is such an iconic event that it'll always take care of itself. You know, someone only needs to run the race once to be in love with it, and if they have the means to come back again, they will come back again. But I did feel like for a long time that I couldn't get out of the shadow of Comrades. And, you know what, if that was the way that I made a living for the rest of my life, I'd be perfectly happy. I would. I love the race. I love everything it stands for. But I do feel like there's much more to running than Comrades. And certainly in South Africa, so many people start running to run Comrades. So it is also good for the overall sport. But I just feel like if I could get to some of those people a bit sooner and say, hey, you know, Comrades isn't going anywhere. And in fact, if we can lay a better foundation and turn you into a better 10, 21 marathon athlete, it'll give you a longer, more successful career at Comrades. And that is especially true if I work with, you know, if I'm talking about the elite ranks. In triathlon, lots of people come to me and say they want to do Ironman, it's Ironman, it's Ironman, but they want to do it on an elite level. And when we analyze why they want to move up, I go, hey, you know what? You're going to make the same mistakes that you're making here when you go longer. But the longer the race is, the more it exposes that weakness. So let's make you a better all-round athlete, stronger, better foundation, faster, and then when you move longer, and then those weaknesses will become exposed even less.